And right now, it's time to say very good morning to Peter Allam. Peter, very good morning on this Monday morning.
Yes, Wayne, very good morning. After some nice warm days, I see it was a little bit chilly this morning again. On the coast, anyway, looks like good weather's coming back. Spring is here, definitely.
It's coming.
This morning, chat is buying or selling a business. Mm-hmm. You know, a big step. A major step for both the buyer and the seller, and something that if you are in that process, I mean, I can only say from the outset, make sure that you consult with your attorney, and we at Allam's also insist that you consult with your accountant. That's both the buyer and the seller. You don't want to buy something or sell something and then find that the SARS implications are rather huge, something that you did not expect. So if you're going to buy or sell, no matter how big, how small, use an attorney, use an accountant, make sure you're doing the right thing. I've seen so many sales go bad over the fact that, you know, extra costs were not anticipated. So let's maybe start by saying, what is a business? It's an establishment which conducts business for the purpose of generating an income. Quite simple. And it can be in the format of what? A company, a closed corporation, a trust, a partnership, sole proprietor. You know, those are the various different types of businesses that you have around. It's kind of the next question. I'm doing it in question form today. Why are you selling your business? So that's the first of the seller. Invariably there, you find that the seller has had enough and he wishes to sell. He's going on pension because he's reached an age where he no longer wants to be involved in the day-to-day running of the business. He's received a good offer from someone. Quite often they're moving town, you know, somebody's tired of the town where they are, or immigrating these days. And then the other one is quite often you have what you call a buyout, where the larger company note that the little person is hitting them hard and then come in and make an offer and take over. Why buy? You know, the story there is that perhaps you've received some inheritance or some funds or your savings have grown nicely and you now wish to buy and have your own business. Sometimes, you know, businesses are at the age where they're going to close and you've been an employee there for years and you have funds sufficient enough to buy out the owner instead of closing down and you and all the staff members, you lose your jobs. And often, you know, people get to an age where you work maybe 10 years after school and you now want to start your own business. So that's why you buy and that's why you sell. Quite important aspects and you need to assess that when buying or selling. And that's why I always say, don't just rush through an agent. Don't just rush in and buy. You need to see an attorney, and your attorney, I'm pretty sure, will advise that you also consult with your accountants, like I said. You know, the type of business depends entirely on you. Obviously, you can't buy something that's way beyond the scope that you used to. You must make sure that you know what the business is about. You know, if you've never been in it, don't jump in and just buy because it's got a good profit. When you look at it or something like that, you need to make sure that it's the right business for you. That is very, very important. And then the next thing that you get is the concept of the sale of a business. The parties involved, the effective date, the date of takeover, what is being sold, is it the land and buildings or the business only? Is it the movable assets? Does it include the stock? Does it include work in progress? What's the story with shares, loan accounts, and all of that? Those are all the concepts of a sale which you need to have a look at. And then if we go, what needs to be in your sale agreement? Well, you know, we at Allam's have a whole list of about 30 different items that we will go through with you and make sure that they are all part and parcel of the sale agreement. But to mention them, it's the purchase price. Now, a purchase price doesn't include stock. The book value of the debtors, in most cases you've got depreciated book value of fixed assets, so you need your accountant to advise you in that regard. Does it include the shares, the outstanding loans, cash on hand, cash coming in? What portion is goodwill and that type of thing? What is the position with assets that are higher purchase or leased or something like that, to make sure that all of that is included and covered? The next thing and the most important thing is payment. You need to make sure that the payment structure is correct. In other words, what you need to make sure is that the buyer has the funds to pay you, and as a buyer that you have the funds to pay, and you're not going to be short. They're not hidden expenses in there when buying a business. So, you know, you need to specify in there what the effective date is, what the payment dates are, and when, how, and by whom payment will be effected. Sometimes people go to the bank to obtain loans. You need to make sure as well that your sale agreement is correctly worded so that if you do not get the funding, you are not still committed to it. It must be subject to. It's a suspensive condition. You need to make sure all the suspensive conditions are correct as well. I mean, if you buy something like a bottle store or something, it's not just as simple as the license is there. You've got to transfer that license. You need to make sure, for example, that you don't have a criminal record, that, you know, the situation is such that you cannot take over that license for some reason or other. So you need to have a proper look at that type of thing, your character, and that of the seller as well. You need to ascertain that you have a proper look at the business and you know what you buy. Stock taking is very important. You know, with the, you need to have a date arrangement in that regard. When we talk about dates, which is probably before stock taking, you normally have a signature date when the contract comes into effect. You then have a stock take date, which is probably also the date that the takeover, or the effective date, as one calls it, becomes part and parcel of it. You often have what you call a final date. Sometimes people buy and pay off over two or three payments. So in agreements like that, we normally put a clause in there that the business remains that of the seller until such time as the full purchase price is being paid. Those are all important aspects regard to dates. You also have a situation where the date is suspended until a payment is effected. So you need to make sure that both the buyer and seller are happy in that regard. Your stock taking, very important on the day that the other person takes over, that you do a proper stock take, both people together. How many times don't we have problems where people have bought and they just take the word of the other party and don't do a proper stock take? That is one of the major problems that we have with it. Section 34 advertisements, very, very important. It's compulsory in terms of the Insolvency Act. The seller must, the word is must, publish a notice advertising the sale. In the newspaper, it's got to be in one English, one Afrikaans, as well as the Government Gazette. That must be done at least 30 days before takeover, or a maximum of 60 days. So should it not be published, the creditors of a business have a claim against the original buyer as well as the seller, and you cannot avoid the transaction. If you have an advertisement, then it becomes that party's problem. The same happens, you know, it's a period both ways, 6 months before and 6 months after. So if you sell a business to someone and they incur bad debts and you have not, as a seller, not advertised, you become liable for that person's due debts as well. So be careful in that regard. If we move then to employees, terms of section 184, you no longer can just say, okay, the business belongs to Wayne. Wayne must dispose of all the employees, and I'm going to bring my own new employees in there. In the old days, you could do that. but not any longer. Mm. Take over automatically. You're going to not lose their years of service and things like that. So you need to know what employees you're getting, how long they've been with you, what's the position with bonuses, what is their salary increase, when is their bonus due, all that type of thing. So you need a proper list of the employees, name, address, everything. You must be very careful as well with the pension funds involved and things like that. You really need to make sure that you do that. You then go back to another important aspect in a sale, which is a restraint of trade. You know, if you're buying, you need to make sure that there is a restraint in there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to sell your radio station to Peter Allen, and then Peter Allen finds out that Wayne has opened another station 2 blocks down the road.
Right.
You know, you need to prevent that person who's well established.
Mm-hmm.
So the restraint is there to limit the area, period, the commodity, the activity. It needs to be negotiated and sorted. Very, very important, a restraint of trade. Agent's commission. If you're buying through an agent, make sure that you're aware of what the commission is. You know, sometimes people get an offer from an agent. They come in and it's not uncommon for them to claim like 10% of the selling price, which is not the norm at all. That is something that's negotiable. That is something that's not compulsory. That is something that you must sort out before you enter into the sale. Obviously, the sale price plays a role on that. It depends on what the position is. So be very careful in that regard, and make sure that you are understanding what the setup is with regard to commission. Work it out beforehand. Don't come afterwards and you're just so excited to have a sale that you don't worry about it.
Because that could end up...
Causes that I like, you know, that can end up causing huge problems. You think you sold for $800,000 and $100,000 is commission.
Can be
a terrible thing.
Right.
The other thing is, your situation is also there that it's very important to have a breach clause in there, a proper breach clause, to say what happens if the person defaults. And then, of course, I always say that an arbitration or mediation clause is of vital importance. Quick, easy arbitration with a final decision is good. Also happens with the stock. If you've got stock, you know, you don't have to take in old stock that's not moving. You don't have to take stock that's expired. Anything with an expiry date and that type of thing can be excluded. But make sure beforehand that you have a specific agreement with regard to the stock take. When it's going to take place, who's going to represent who, when the final stock take will be produced, and then what is the position with the stock. If there's stuff that's not wanted, it's so easy just to put a mediator in there. You get a person that comes in, experienced in that field, and he says, okay, that's redundant stock. That stock can be brought in at a special price, puts a proposal on the table, and you see the parties cannot come to an agreement in that regard. You also have a whole lot of accounts that you've got to transfer. You mustn't forget that. You've got your telephone, your water and light, your... some people have a DSTV that they use in the shops. All the different contracts, motor vehicle contracts. The list is unending. You need to make sure that all the assets that are listed are fully paid for. Don't come along and find out that the most common one is people don't realize that normally when you've got fridges that belong to a brewery or to a cooling company, they don't belong to the shop owner. So they put it on to increase the value. They say, one by such and such a brand fridge. Meantime, the fridge is there on loan and that company can come and remove it. You also have those companies, the different cooling companies only allow their own products in there. So you can't, use a cooling fridge and put all your milk in there because you don't have another fridge. You've got to be careful in that regard. You've got to make sure that you know what you're doing when you come across that type of thing. Warranties, you need to make sure as well what warranties there are. You know, they need to be listed separately. They need to be on hand so that one knows what the position is. Now, Wayne knows basically most of the clauses that one finds into a deed of sale and that you need to be cautious of.
And Peter, I suppose very much varied depending on the field that the business operates in as to how this process will go forward. You know, depending on whether or not the business carries stock, I mean, there are so many variables, but you've actually very much broadly covered, I think, the sale of potentially any type of business would include any one of, if not all, of the points that you've just mentioned.
Yeah, pretty important. Another aspect that maybe I didn't just quite touch on is licenses. You know, certain businesses need licenses, but businesses need certain clearances and that type of thing. Don't go out there as Joe Soap and buy a pharmacy because you're not a pharmacist. It's not to say you can't, but you need to know the rules and regulations. I can buy a pharmacy, not being a pharmacist, but I've then got to have a qualified pharmacist that comes on board and to whom the license is issued to be able to run the dispensary and things like that.
Right.
You know, you look at the big brand pharmacies, they're not owned by a pharmacist, they're owned by an individual, and then he has his 2RC, which is a pharmacist that he either enters into an agreement with on a profit sharing or, you know, the salary that he passes in to remain there and that type of thing. So, yeah, you've got to make sure. And that's why I go back to saying, if you're going to buy or sell a business, the best person to consult is an attorney.
Mm.
You definitely need that attorney with experience, you know, to tell you what all the little, you know, he's got to come along and cross the T's and dot the I's for you.
Yes, that's
what it basically amounts
right.
to.
Right.
Properly for you and advise you, put up the missing gaps that there are. That's basically our track today, which is a very interesting one.
Yes, and Peter, just very, very broadly, let's say in the Buffalo City area, are a lot of businesses being bought and sold? You know, is it something that is happening often? Has it been on an increase with the state of the economy, people maybe offloading businesses? Or have things been pretty steady and stable currently?
You know, it's a very steady business sector, sale and buying of businesses. I mean, every day there are people out there wanting to buy. Every day there are people out there wanting to sell.
Mm.
I mean, you can choose any type of business, Google it, and you'll find something to sell in your area.
Mm.
If you don't find something, an agent will find it for you. So, yes, it's very popular, always has been.
Uh-huh.
We do a lot of business sales. If you look in the paper, you'll see the Insolvency Act, you know, advertisements almost weekly from various places, various purchases and the like. So it is something that is definitely there and on the rise.
Right. Oh, that's very, very interesting.
During COVID, of course, but back to normal again now.
So things have stabilized again after all the hiccups of the past number of years.
People seem to have money again. People seem to have settled, and you know, there are a lot of people out there that lost their jobs during COVID. They see some nice pension payouts and that type of thing, and they're using that money wisely to buy something so that they don't get caught in the same situation again.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
And Peter, just to recap, if somebody wants to get in touch with Alam's attorneys, how do they go about it?
They can like us on Facebook, just add a S to Alam, A-L-L-A-M-S, and you'll find all our details there. You'll find the weekly chats. You'll find all your pods that you send me and that type of thing there on Wild Coast FM and on our chats. Other than that, we're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, a little side street where Pep Stores is, number 6, telephone number 043-7211018.
Okay, great. Peter, thank you very, very much.